Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Autism Stories. I'm your host, Doug Bletcher, the founder of Autism Personal Coach. Autistic people are the true experts of the autistic experience, and Autism Stories is where we interview autistic people to learn from their stories, experiences, and get their insights. If you would like to be notified about each week's episode of Autism Stories, we suggest you subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform. We would also appreciate it if you could give us a positive rating and review, as it will help others to learn about Autism Stories. On today's episode, Andrew Moore joins us to discuss overseeing a directory of resources for autistic people. We hope you enjoy today's conversation. Andrew, thanks so much for joining me here on Autism Stories.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Doug. It's been something I've been looking forward to for a few weeks now, actually.
And I'd like to start off our conversation by learning, where does your story in the autistic community begin?
Oh, that's a really good question. I was officially diagnosed after receiving support from the charity I'm at, Autistic Minds, in June 21. So 2.5 years ago, really. But I've known about my difference and the way I see the world is different compared to conventional neurotypical thinking since I was primary school. I just knew I had these like moments where I was doing, I was seeing things differently than what I was expecting and people around me. And I was doing more bold and mischievous things, which I didn't realize were, you know, the bright behavioral patterns for someone at that age, or that's, you know, what was happening naturally, you know, the life skills and the transition and growing up. I just used to do silly things.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing, really.
And you mentioned Autistic Minds. You are the directory administrator right now for Autistic Minds UK. What do you primarily do in this role?
I volunteered there, and that was May 21, and I was working on the directory, which I'm still at, but I've got more roles and responsibilities now. So that was listing. So we have at Autistic Minds of the directory, we have the correct families, individuals to find autistic groups and events and articles all related to autism. So we've recently came close to hitting 35,000. So we're the biggest in the UK, but the second in the world. So that's our aim, to be the biggest in the world and stuff. And I worked on a listing. After about a year, I worked on events, a process, or like the QA and all that kind of thing. And then I started last year on data analysis. So I did a few courses on LinkedIn because I had a, you know, it was £1 for a month. So I thought I might as well use it as much as I can. And then I learned Google Analytics, which is more database as opposed to web analytics. And I've just, we're just looking more at the stats recently with my team leader, and I've been doing a report writing course to understand, you know, the fundamentals of, you know, citations or references and how to add figures into a report so it looks as professional as possible. So I'm working on that at the moment. But the directory's doing really well, and we're a team of autistic individuals, all very clever and think differently, but we get on so well, which is really good.
Now, the Autistic Minds directory is one of the more extensive directories I've seen relating to support for autistic people. I'm wondering, what's been the process of finding resources for the directory? Like, how do you go about finding those things?
The team leaders, when I first joined in May, we have a list. If you're on the website now, you can see on the directory, there's all different categories like sports and residential and personal and training. So we've gone through all this and we'll find a directory and we'll have a look at others and then we'll QA and check them and see if we have like this very, very strict process. So for example, if you wanted to come on our directory, we look for, do you mention autism or learning disabilities? What do you provide? Are you good for an autistic individual? Obviously, you would be, because what you do is all about autism, so you're like ticking all the boxes, so we can add you and stuff. And then we have services, like you can pay a monthly fee to have advertising space, and you can have all these various options part of our services. So that's what we're trying to work on at the moment, is to build our avenue, because we've got the fundamentals down, and the amount of listings of being checked. So we just need to build up the income. So that's what we're working on there at the moment. But yeah, we go on, say, for example, you're looking for a driving instructor. So we go on Google, we have to use the keywords, we type in driving instructor and maybe UK, and then we'll have a list. And then we go through the website. If the website's not updated for a while, we go on Facebook. If that's not updated, it can't be added, because those are the two main sources which individual businesses use to connect to the world, as well as LinkedIn. So that could be an option as well, but we don't use that too much at the moment. But we just check everything. We're very, very strict and have a detailed process with it all, which is really good.
One of the things I like about the directory is the listing of autistic-run organizations, as I haven't seen that very often in other directories. What went into the decision to include these important organizations in the directory when far too often, in my opinion, they aren't highlighted?
I'd say with autistic run, we had a list of categories, then the guys and the management, because our founder, Nadine Honeywell, she's a really interesting lady. She started the charity and the directory. That's where it first started, with the directory, because her son's nonverbal autistic. So she couldn't find the resources, the support and all that for him in the education. So she thought, I'm going to start a charity and create a directory for families. It's very detailed what we do with the charity. And we just go in everything. We go on everything related to autism society, and we just look at it, we QA it, and then we progress to another category. And then I'm going back through the listings of 2020, just seeing like the bigger picture, because on the analytics, I got stats, and we've got people from Poland looking on our directory, people from Philippines and India and America. America's the second, as you probably gathered from the statistic, if you think about it, compared to, say, you know, like a huge, you know, the National Autistic Society in the UK. And, you know, Autism Speaks and stuff, they're huge.
Now, it's always a challenge to find resources. So I'm wondering, is there a category of resources that you would like to find more information about, but it's been difficult to do so?
There was, when I was researching sports last year, I was looking, I could find cricket clubs, which are on a database part of the governing body of cricket. So it's unfortunate we can't add them, because they need to have something visual on the page for to be seen. So I found sports are quite difficult, because sport is quite, with disability, it's quite a niche area compared to, like, you know, you're in America and you've got NBA and ice hockey and all showing disability, you know, because disability, there's a reason why there's disabled clubs, isn't there? There's a reason why they're not playing with the guys who are, yeah, because it's the level of sport, and they don't, it's hard to balance, you know, the competitiveness of it.
Yeah, I think resource directories can be great, but I think sometimes the drawback for them is that they're difficult to maintain. And often the newest information ends up not being included in the directory. How do you go about maintaining a quality directory of resources?
How do we go about maintaining it?
Yes.
We're keeping up the level of skill and constant feedback. And we have monthly team meetings, and we're constantly going over every aspect, because what I found with autism, because I'm new to the work, to work in a consistent way, because I always struggled with, you know, holding down jobs and everything, because I just didn't have the life skills. But with the autism, they're so detailed. which makes sense because that's one of the traits, really. But they're so thorough and detailed and good with observing how things should be, you know, to a high level, because they want perfection, you know, because they're so incredibly driven. And I work really hard, but these guys work hard. And then we just constantly look at sports, for example. How is sport doing, that category? What is changing? Then we research, look into articles and events, and we see patterns, and then we analyze it. And then we focus on categories which we can get more out of, but then other people will just come back and look at other categories. So it's all constant flux of the process and just the learning experience is checking everything, really.
Separate from the directory, I wanted to ask you about a LinkedIn Learning course I believe you took place in. It's titled Data for Good, Using Data Science in Nonprofits and NGOs. What did you learn about the importance of quality data as it might relate to nonprofits?
That was a really good course for me because I worked in the private sector in New Law. That was a big job because I was unemployed for a while. But when you go to the charity sector, like, for example, our charity has the Charity Commission, which oversees us, and we have trustees, so we have to make sure we're following strict guidelines and rules because otherwise we'll get shut down. Really, because, and I did a lot of courses in that April period, if you check my, like, obviously see my profile, and then I just bought what guidelines and what GDPR rules or regulations nonprofit sector needs, because it is taking information and it is assurance done to the most professional level, because you don't want to get sued, you know, you don't want to have a reputation of being a bit, you know, dodgy. So we kind of, yeah, I found through that course nonprofits usually stay to a high standard, because that's what we do. We research Adam's directory, and then we email out to see if they want to claim their listing, and then we have a script on the email to say, this is what we provide, would you like to claim? There's no price for claiming, but it's nice to know that someone's owned it, can see it, and then they can make adjustments and contact us. And then if they want to go to paid, you have more features. That's the main aspect of it, is to give employment to vulnerable individuals who haven't succeeded because of various reasons in society, but it's there to provide support, which is really good.
And lastly, Andrew, how can our listeners learn about you and Autistic Minds UK beyond this interview?
We can use our website, and we have a Facebook page for the directory, and which has also just been joined LinkedIn. And I've been in my spare time helping to get more followers, kind of up to 2,500 connections now. So I was like focusing on autism group. And there's obviously the directories on the website. So it's mainly just going on Google and typing the Autistic Minds into the search. And then I can then obviously track how many people are actually joining, seeing it. And then I can do a Google Analytics to see, because we want to have the more people come to us, which is better, really. And yeah, it's just mainly for the internet and social media, because we're working really hard to make it as cool as possible with, you know, the campaigns, the marketing and the posts. We try and make them as fun and interesting as we can.
Well, Andrew, it was great to get to know you a little bit. Thanks so much for joining me here on Autism Stories.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening to my story.
Thanks so much to Andrew for the conversation. To learn more about Andrew, please check out the link in the podcast description for this episode. We always love hearing from you and would especially love to hear from you relating to this episode. What would you like to see in a directory of services, groups, and resources created specifically for autistic individuals? Here at Autism Personal Coach, our clients are the experts, our coaches are the guides. The majority of supports for autistics are not helpful. They try to fix us, not support us. That's why many are confused when we say our clients are the experts, experts of their lived experience. Our clients are the experts for what has worked for them and about the things they need and want in their lives. Our coaches first listen to our clients and then ask thoughtful questions, offer resources, and strategize with our clients so they can get what they need to thrive. Would you want a guide in your life to coach you, to help you to get the things you desire? If so, then visit autismpersonalcoach.com for more information. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autism Stories. And if you did, if you could tell a friend, foe, or anyone you know about it so they could have the same enjoyable and educational experience as you when listening to Autism Stories, it would be very much appreciated. Until next time, I'm Doug Bletcher of Autism Personal Coach. Talk to you then.